Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get it? The Bird Show.
All right, so this isn't radio theater. None of us in here today knew that we were going to actually be able to make this connection from years ago for Ingrid. All right, Ingrid, so now that we know who he is, Tommy seems to be hot on his trail. We'll get in touch with him this morning or this afternoon, and maybe we can get him on tomorrow to say hey to you. At least we'll find out some more info and see if he's even available.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 years. Life happens, and I get it. I have very reasonable expectations. But, wow. Don't get on Tommy's bad side. He will find you.
Yeah. You are not kidding.
Oh, right. My God.
For those that are just now joining us, we're doing a Love Lost and Found. And Ingrid, 2 years ago, was at the Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson Airport. She is visually impaired, and a man guided her through the airport to get to her gate. And there was something very striking about him, not just physically, but like a soul-to-soul connection. And she has not forgot this man. So here we are 2 years later. She was in the process of being separated, so she wasn't ready to make a relationship with anybody. She just wanted to get to know herself, which I totally commend, Ingrid. And now she reaches out to us because, you know, clock's a ticking. This train's leaving the station October 24th. She went through and gave all these like descriptors. She said, I want to say his name is Jamal. I could be wrong. She gave us all of these deets. And I was like, you know, if this was memorable for her, I wonder if there is an airport employee listening that's like, oh, I remember taking a lovely woman who is, extraordinarily beautifully tall, that had her, as she calls it, her Moses cane because it parts the seas, and escorting her through the airport. But we didn't even have to get to that point because Tommy did a search and found Jamal, the airport employee that guided Ingrid. He sent Ingrid a photo, and though she is visually impaired, she said she was able to look at it, and sure enough, we could tell in the sound of her voice, she just started cackling. It's him! He's been found!
And I'm just saying, I'm on his Facebook page right now, and under relationship, it says, no relationship info to show.
Okay.
And I don't see of any pictures with him with like women or anything.
All right, Tommy, sometimes people have their numbers attached to their Facebook profile. Is there any number there?
You don't think I can't find his phone number?
Well, I know you can. Do you have it?
Not just yet, okay. But I can look. Hang on.
All right, Ingrid.
I'm cautiously optimistic. It's cold out in these single streets.
I'm with you, girl. I'm shivering with you.
Yeah. Your excitement about it and your cackling and giggling is making me so happy.
Yeah, I know, right? Wait, if we find his phone number, can we call him like on the next break?
Why not?
Yeah.
We can do anything we want.
That's what I was saying. That's no what I was cares. Getting at. But Tommy, like, let's just friggin' rip the Band-Aid. Let's do it right now.
Let's DM him right now.
Why wait till after the show? Why wait till tomorrow? Yeah. We got nothing but time to kill.
Look at this schedule. You're not kidding.
No. Kidding. Got it.
You got it?
Stop.
You want to give him a call right now?
Yep, I got it.
All right, why don't you give him a call right now, Tommy, and just we'll listen to your side because we can't put him on without telling him what's up.
Ingrid, just to make sure this is guy, about what age, I'm looking at him, about what age do you think he was?
Oh, he'd be 33. I did the calculations.
He'd be 33, she
said. All right, this says 36. Close enough.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure this is the guy.
All right, we'll listen in on you calling him.
All right, hang on.
Tommy, if you set us up and this ain't him, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to come in that studio and punch you in the throat.
It's the only guy.
If he's single, cute, and employed, I'm okay with that.
Who cares if his name's Jamal?
If it's the wrong Jamal, but it's the right one for her?
Right.
There you go.
He's got a specific last name, and this is the only one popping up in Atlanta. So I'm pretty sure this is him.
All right, go for it. Call him.
Bye. The Wrong Jamal is the perfect title for the next Netflix rom-com.
The Wrong Jamal.
The Wrong Jamal. But he's right for you. It's perfect. It's writing itself.
All right. Hold on. We're going to listen to Tommy's side of this comment.
All right. It's ringing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Ring number two.
If I get a strange call, I'm not picking up.
Come on, Jamal. Pick up.
Imagine if Tommy Rickrolls us.
Yeah, I know.
Jamal.
Never gonna give you up.
Four rings. I'm thinking it's going to be...
Oh my gosh.
Hi. Jamal is currently unavailable.
No.
Dang it. Okay.
No, we saw that coming. Well,
my voice.
Story of my life.
Jamal, hey, this is Tommy Owen. I'm the show director for The Burt Show. We're a radio morning show. And we have a young lady on with us. Her name is Ingrid. She met you a couple years ago at the airport. You helped her at the airport. And she's kind of interested in you. So wanted to talk to you. If you can, give me a call back. My number, my cell number is 818-813.
That was smart.
Everybody's got my email. I could have said the last four digits. It's in my email address. I don't care. Anyway, give me a call.
That was all part of his message, by the way.
Jamal, give us a call as quick as you can if you get this. Thank you.
He's responding to us, but it's going on the voicemail. All right, Ingrid, when we hear back from him, we will stop what we are doing.
Yes.
And we will give you a call, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
I am shocked we even got this far.
I'm floored.
Me too.
100% shocked.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Tell him who's on line one.
If Kristen had pearls, they would be clutched.
I gasped.
She gasped.
I did. I did an audible gasp during the commercial break because I looked. I have phone screener software in front of me, and I went.
All right. So for those of you that haven't been listening the last hour, you missed out because I'm not going to explain the whole thing again.
Thank you.
All I'm telling you is that Ingrid called us up, and she's like, I had an experience with a dude that I met years ago that I've been thinking about. Can you help me try to find him? This was years ago. All we had really was a name and what he did for a living, and we had no idea that we would actually connect him this morning. In fact, I was pretty sure when we got the email, this is just going to be a waste of time. Sure enough, we found the dude.
I thought it was an errand's, a fool's errand, Aaron's fool, something like that.
You a fool.
I don't know who Aaron is, but let's forget about him, and let's get Hot Jamal on the line.
So Jackson, who answers the phone, says, Jamal's on line one. And so I picked it up, and the only question I had is, Jamal, what's your last name? And he gave me the last name that I have.
Okay.
So that is the only confirmation that I have. So I'm assuming this is the Jamal we're looking for.
Okay. Let's talk to Jamal first, and then we'll get Ingrid on. Hey, Jamal.
Yes, how you doing?
My man, thank you for calling in.
No problem. Thank you for calling me.
Dude, I'll tell you, years ago, when you were at work, you helped out one of our listeners whose name is Ingrid. Years ago, she was so taken back by your kindness and frankly, how good you look and the chemistry between the two of you guys. She's been thinking about you and thinking about timing wasn't right. Anyway, make a long story short, she emails us at this little morning show of ours, and it just happens to... Here you are, and here you are calling us, and she's been looking for you, man. Her name is Ingrid. Thank you for picking up, and thanks for calling us back even. This must have been shocking to hear this morning.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was like a prank or something, but
No, sir.
Nah, it's no prank.
Well, how does it feel to know, Jamal, that your spirit is so kind that somebody is still thinking about you 2 years later after your brief interaction at the airport? That has to feel good, right?
Yeah, it feels pretty good. I mean, I guess I'm doing my job right, if that's the case.
There
I try
go.
To help as people as I can, when I can, so feels pretty good.
All right, so if you want this segment, we can send it to you so you can give it to your bosses so they can give you a raise.
Seriously, man. Are you still at the airport, Jamal? Do you still work there?
Yes. I actually literally just got off of work. I work overnight right now. I'm still at the airport.
All right, so all you're thinking about is getting into bed right now and getting yourself some sleep.
I'm exhausted. What shenanigans is it showed up to you?
All right, we would like to introduce you to Ingrid here. These introductions on the radio are always awkward, so forget about chemistry here for a second. We just sort of want to be the bridge between the two of you guys. Are you ready for that, Jamal?
Sure.
Okay. Ingrid, we found Jamal, or Jamal found us. You guys want to say hey?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Ingrid. It's Jamal. I'm good. How you doing?
Hey, living the dream so far.
Ingrid, tell him what you told us about your experience with him. Look, if this happens or not, this is still a pretty cool story, and at least really cool for him to know that there was somebody out there that you kind of like. I mean, you're really touched.
You're really touched. A lasting impact.
Yeah, lasting impact. Ingrid, tell him what happened for you in that experience.
Absolutely. So first of all, I want to just thank you. You sound like the same kind dude that I met 2 years ago, almost to the day. It was October 28th. So I missed my flight the night before, and my sister dropped me off, and it was around 6:30, which kind of tracks with your overnight schedule, I think. And right at the front door, I came out with, I call it my Moses stick. It's a white cane because I'm low vision. And you offered, he's like, hey, okay, I'm here to help you. Do you want a wheelchair or do you want to walk? And the fact that you gave me a choice was amazing in itself. And I know it's not a small airport, so people often just say wheelchair because it's easier. But I was like, hey, I'm 6'2". Let's walk, stretch the legs. And the whole time you were walking, we were just talking. And I got to admit, Jamal, I'm actually an introvert, believe it or not, despite going through a radio station to meet up. But yeah. And we bonded, I'll say I bonded with you or remembered you over the fact that we had similar marriage stories. There was no bitterness in your voice, nor was there in mine. And, you know, I learned that you were from New York. You had no kids. You had a master's degree. Stopped at Dunkin'.
Ingrid, you're starting to sound like a stalker. Just tell him how he made you feel, girl.
You're doing fine, Ingrid. You're doing fine. I got you, girl.
Thank you, Abby. I'm just, you know, to make sure we still have the right guy. I just wanted to say, I mean, I also see how people interact with coworkers, and you seemed really genuine, calling all the ladies, hey, love, how you doing, love? How's it going? Like, the way people acted towards you said a lot about you. And then when I needed help again, because I forgot something at the food counter, you like, oh, let me finish with this. I'll be right back. Don't move. And you're willing to help me again. It was just like, right away, I sat there like a stalker, as Kristen called me, and I wrote down notes so I could remember. I wanted to remember, like, if anything, it was like, it was at the beginning of a magical weekend, which had nothing to do with you, but everything to do with you, because it started it off on a really good positive note. So I was recently separated at the time. I wasn't looking at any of that. I literally just wanted to connect with someone who was so positive, so chill, so cool. And it made me feel comfortable, like, almost immediately. So that was pretty much it.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate it. I'm glad I could help make your day or your weekend. You're kind of helping to make my day right now. So that's...
Well, let's put you guys on hold. We'll let Tommy get you guys numbers, contact numbers, and you guys take it from there. But, you know, Jamal, I think in this job that we do also, and we've been talking a lot because the show is going off the air in a couple of weeks, actually, about you never quite know sometimes the impact that you're having on somebody. You come in, you do your job. In our case, we have a lot of laughs, but... In most cases, I'm guessing on your job, you're not thanked all that much. So just to know that you've had this kind of impact, probably not on her, on hundreds and hundreds, I think that's a kind of a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right, let me put you guys on hold, and we'll get you guys together, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on.
All right.
They're going to get married. She just kept off rattling stats on him. I'm like, girl, we need to talk more about emotions and not like.
She got nervous.
I know she did.
That's some virtual magic still, man.
I know, right? I love it.
I know some of you guys are going to be listening to the interaction between the two of them. Imagine how awkward that first time you guys talked to somebody is on the radio and had no idea when you left work this morning that this was going to be part of it. So we'll track them. We'll see what happens after this.
Plus, the man's been working all night.
He's been working all night.
He's tired.
Man's is tired. The government's shut down. Paychecks are delayed.
Right. It's the Bird Show.
Listen, it's the Bird Show. What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Every single year we did this, it was complete and total pandemonium. We're going to flash back to 2011 today. The Burt Show is ending on October 24th, so we're taking a look back over 25 years. And every year we did this for 10 years, it was pandemonium. This was the running of the brides for Filene's Basement. Filene's Basement was a store. It was a franchise that was based out of Boston. And in 1947, they started doing this thing where hundreds of women would line up outside of Filene's Basement, and they would run into the store and just grab as many wedding dresses as they could. They weren't even in any kind of size at all. Like, you just went in there, all these women fighting for these wedding dresses, just looking for a specific color, just grabbing as many as they could. They would bring five or six women with them also that would grab as many wedding dresses as they could and just sort it out later, right? They started that in 1947. For 10 years, they did it in Atlanta, and we were the morning show that hosted it each and every year. And every year, it got bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. There were people camping out for 2 days, like in tents in front of Filene's Basement in Buckhead, just so they could be one of the first women that ran in there and grabbed as many wedding dresses as they could. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of women.
And these were designer dresses at discount prices.
Right.
So you would not be able to get a dress like this anywhere for the price you were getting it. Is this also the same event where you fell off the stage?
That is exactly the same. Yeah. No. I leaned back in my chair. So the stage was set up a little bit. We're doing the show outside before they actually open the doors. And I'm leaning back in my chair, and I completely tip over the side of the stage and go right into bushes.
No.
And Tracy is right there panicking. Never even tried to help me out. Just couldn't believe it was in slow motion. Didn't even put a hand out. So, yeah, this was that event. So this is 2011. Wendy is on the show. She is in a sumo suit. She goes down as these women are, like, going as fast as they can. The doors open, and it's just a sea of women that are laser-focused. Wendy goes straight down. 1,000 women at this thing. It was crazy. Melissa did the countdown for it, and you'll hear the complete pandemonium as the doors open. Melissa counts it down, and Wendy goes straight down at Filene's Basement. You can sort of start to feel the excitement right now. Like, the line is starting to push right up to the front of Filene's Basement right now. And in like 4 minutes, they will all be set free inside of Filene's to find their ideal wedding dress. And Wendy is out here right now, and she's in her sumo costume.
You're about to get run over.
This is hysterical. This suit is so cushy. I'm going to be fine. I'm ready to get thrown down. I'm literally like doing some moves in this sexy outfit I have on right now.
You look like a stuffed chocolate chip cookie.
I feel ridiculous, but it's great.
If you've ever seen like two people compete at like a Braves game or at a Hawks game or a Thrashers game where they do that sumo wrestling thing where they wrestle each other, that's the costume she has on right now.
It's so big. Like, the pants are falling down.
Like, she's got a helmet on, a black helmet. It is a beige sumo, big-time sumo suit. She looks huge. She's got a red belt, and then her legs are obviously huge and brown also.
All right, she's got to get in there.
You got to get in there. Get in there.
So, and Melissa is doing the countdown. This is her last running of the bride. So, yes. Melissa Carter, are you ready for this?
Well, it is a dream come true. I appreciate the Burt Show allowing me to stand here with all these women who look like, it's like a horse race. They're ready. They're to get out of the gate, and I'm just pretending that the dresses aren't there, that it's just me. But, yes, of course, it's the dresses that they are running toward. But Wendy in her sumo suit is hilarious, and I am worried for this child's health. But I am ready, and these women, I mean, they... They have determination on their faces. They are ready to go. We have a banner up that has Running the Brides of Filene's Basement, and they're going to run through this banner like at a high school football game, and they're going to run, and they're going to get to their dresses.
This is insane.
I just got nervous.
The energy is unbelievable. Everybody's pushing towards the door, hands in the air, screaming and yelling. They are ready to go. Yeah. You're right. It's like horses coming out of the gate, Melissa.
That's absolutely right. You just got to tell me when I start the countdown, and I will.
We got a couple of minutes.
Wendy, you cannot grab onto me like this.
Yeah. Melissa's not going down with you.
I am not going down with you, honey. You're going down with the show.
Tell her you have somebody else's kidney.
That's right. I got to protect the kidneys, honey.
I got to protect myself.
I just got really nervous. So we have 1,000 women behind this banner looking at Wendy and me. Wendy and I are in between these 1,000 women and the hundreds of wedding dresses that we have ready for them to go through.
I am just a little, when Wendy gets knocked down, will somebody be sure that they don't continue to run over her? That's the one thing I am nervous about.
That was not a part of our agreement. No, I'm just kidding.
Knocked down, fun, trampled, not fun.
So, Melissa, you're going to give us the play-by-play after the doors open. What's going on in there and what's
Absolutely.
Happening?
Absolutely,
When Wendy goes down, we will know.
When Wendy goes down, I will let you know because that will probably happen in the first 10 seconds.
Uh-oh.
But we will see.
Is she really going to be in the middle?
She's standing right in front of the banner in the middle of these women right now. And they had the looks on their faces, my butt has gone numb. They are ready to go.
You got to understand there are 1,000 women with some guys all in different color t-shirts. Some are in like bridesmaid dresses. Some are color coordinated.
Headbands, hats,
headbands.
Balloons.
And they are all going to start running in here in just a couple of seconds. You got 1 minute. 1 minute.
1 minute.
1 minute.
1 minute, ladies.
And then you will just hear women screaming and screaming. And Melissa will give you the play-by-play from inside of Filene's because we won't be able to see that angle.
So, right. Melissa, is she counting down from 10? Where is she starting?
At 10, right? You have to let me know. Give me the signal for the 10.
Okay. We're getting closer. We're almost there.
How you feeling, Wendy?
I'm really nervous.
I'm nervous for Wendy now, too. I just don't want people to trample over. Knocking down is cool, but trampling on top of her, now I'm nervous about that.
Okay.
Bad idea, Javi.
And intern Brandon's with me, so I'm going to have his muscle help Wendy.
We are live from Filene's basement right now, the Runnings of the Bride in Atlanta. We've got 1,000 women. They are all set right outside of Filene's basement. When these doors open, they all are going to run in there and try to find the wedding dress of their dreams. We have Wendy and Melissa both inside. Wendy is in a sumo costume.
Yes.
She's definitely going down. That's for video purposes. And Melissa's going to give us the play-by-play.
Are we ready? Are we ready to start the countdown?
It's in your hands at this point.
All right, here we go. Ladies, you ready? Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Filene's basement running of the brides! Wendy's still up. Wendy's not down yet. The women are running through. They're still running. They're determined. Wendy is still standing. She is still standing. Oh, Wendy's down. Wendy's down. Intern Brandon is protecting Wendy. She's all right.
They are still pouring in from out here.
Yeah, this won't stop for a while now.
This line is just pouring inside the store, and now the dresses are coming off the racks.
Wendy is now protected and secured on the sidelines. She has been knocked down, and she's back up.
The line is still, there are women running as fast as they can from outside of that building, and they're filling in the Filene's basement right now.
I see a few dresses still on the racks, but they're coming down.
I see elbows being thrown right before they get into the door.
All right, and we have a shoe down. Somebody has lost a shoe. They don't care. They're going to get their wedding dress.
This is always insane. They're still pouring in outside. The line is still pouring into the store.
They are still running in.
Yeah, you know what they did? This was really smart. Some women came with signs saying exactly what size that they were looking for because when they're on the racks, they're not organized based on size. Women are still running in.
Still pouring into the store. And now I think all the dresses are officially off the racks.
Yes. Do you know how you've seen movies where military guys are carrying each other like off the beach or up a hill? Well, these women have grabbed 5, 6, 7 dresses on average, and they're dragging them to different places to try them on. So like Jen said, the dresses are officially off the racks now, and women are starting to try the dresses on. And all these groups of brides and their bridesmaids have numbers on them for the size of the dress they're looking for. So right now what's going to happen is women are going to start trying these dresses on, and then they're going to start trading on the floor. It's almost like the stock exchange. They're going to trade dresses on the floor based on the sizes they they need, because when they grabbed these dresses off the rack, they didn't know what sizes they were grabbing.
Women are still coming in. This line is not done yet, by the way. Yeah. So we're talking through it, but the pace is certainly slowed, but because there are no dresses on the rack, and Wendy is getting out of the sumo costume now. How'd it go?
That was rough. You know, I have one of those helmets on, like the sumo helmets that have the hair on it, and I came out and the helmet was to the side. It was not even on my head anymore.
You actually stayed up longer than I thought you would.
I know.
Me too.
You sort of went with the flow.
As soon as I fell, this one woman plowed into me. She's like, I have none of this, and bam,
out my way, girl.
Now, we've done this for 9 years now, and I will say something that women have done this year differently is more men. They brought their guys, their fiancés, their brothers, and these men are the ones they're using to haul off these piles of dresses to a corner so that they can try them on.
Well, here's what they're going to realize in a couple of minutes, that that was a bad idea, bringing these men, because you remember every year, women are much more comfortable in their own skin than dudes are. So women will literally be getting half naked about 30 seconds as they try these dresses on quickly, put them back on the rack. Mm-hmm. Other women come and bring them dresses, but they stand in the store half naked all day long.
Well, I mean, I don't know about all day long, but they'll be trying
maybe
them
that's
on
my fantasy
till they decide which dress is going to go home with them. So you see people have got piles and stacks right now, and now it's the time where they start sorting it out, and then once they don't want it anymore, if they try it on, they're like, nah, this is not my dress, then they pass it along and start the bartering process. I mean, there are tons of dresses that won't get bought this morning, right now, at this time, and you can definitely like come back throughout the day and definitely find a dress later on without the crazy mayhem, but this mayhem is fun.
And we have a shoe, and we have what else?
A shoe, a tank top. I don't know how that happened.
And a walkie-talkie.
And a walkie-talkie.
This is a Running of the Brides Lost and Found.
This is The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'll say the quiet part out loud now. That I'm getting a lot of people asking, like, really, what is the reason why you're taking off? Really, what is the reason why you're taking off? The show's doing so well. You guys had this amazing legacy going on in Atlanta. Why are you taking off now, you know? Especially feeling all the love at Parade this at Pride this weekend, and so many DMs and calls from you guys also. Why are you taking off? Why are you taking off? Here it is, man. It's okay to admit when you don't love something anymore. I just don't get the same juice that I used to anymore.
Well, we hate you too, mofo. I know it's not.
I absolutely love you guys, man. And if I was going to continue it, this is the team I want to continue with. But it feels like I would be cheating an industry and cheating a show and cheating an experience that has been so good to me if I'm just phoning it in, you know? And I know a lot of people in the industry that don't love it anymore, but they got those golden handcuffs and they continue to come in and continue to fake it and just don't want to be there anymore. And I just, it's okay to admit that I just don't love it like I used to love it anymore. The industry has changed. I've changed as a person so much over 25 years. I mean, if you haven't changed in 25 years, good God, it's time to take a look at yourself, right? And I just don't love it as much as I used to. And in order to keep a show going like this, it really takes a lot of energy. What you guys hear, what you're watching on a TV show, what you see is the final product, but all the stuff that goes into it, as I've said before a million times on the show, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, this isn't a hard job. It's a taxing job. It's taxing on a body. It's taxing on sleep. Your mind is constantly on content. You're constantly taking input. It's a taxing job.
Not hard, but taxing. And I mean, it takes a lot of effort to make something look effortless and look easy. And so I totally get it, dude. And like you have been, I mean, think about it. Your passion has been radio for 40 years. Like, it's okay for your passions to shift and you want to, like, refocus.
No, it's not. Nobody asked me. I think your passions should stay the same.
You didn't get a vote. Dang it, I should have taken it to vote. About the passion part, that's it. Mm-hmm. What's scary for me is, what is my passion? I just don't know outside of this what that is. And that's why this is such a scary time for me, and one that I'm very proud of myself for making this leap and really being as authentic as I am, saying like, I don't want to take away from this industry, and I don't want to take away from this show, and I want to take the leap. I just don't know what I'm leaping into. I told you guys before, I've never had a hobby before. This has sort of been my hobby and my profession and my identity. And here I am taking this leap, and I don't know what I'm leaping into. So it has been, there are very scary thoughts. I'm proud of myself. Like, I look at it going, damn, dude, that's very courageous. And then I look at it, I'm like, what are you doing? You're not a courageous person.
What are these scary thoughts for you? Like, what are your fears going into retirement?
It's not the unknown. It's the unknown part of myself, which is really what I'm going to get into here when I tell you guys what I'm going to be doing in this healing retreat that I'm doing. It's the unknown parts of myself. Like, I am really delving into a person that I have always wanted to be, but never had the time to really be. I've always had to be type A to make sure this thing is going right. I've surrounded myself with amazing people that have made me look good, but there's always, every day, there's the stress of like performing every single day. I've never not performed for somebody every single day. I've never had a hobby where I'm just going to do something that because it gives me joy. I got to be honest with you guys. I don't know what gives me joy. I don't know what it is that gives me joy. So how do I find that? Those are pretty scary thoughts.
Okay. I mean, I get it. Like, but you've realized... I know you're not waffling, but is it because like after you, I know you're not waffling, but this, and I don't want to call it panic because it's not panic I see in you at all. Like, you're very resolved and resolute in your decision, which I think is, which is great. And you've earned this. Like, you've put 40 years into an industry and you're like, it's time to say goodbye. Like, it's just time. Mm-hmm. Like, things happen for a reason, a season, et cetera. And so this has been a huge season for you. 40 years is a lengthy season, but it's time to move on. So I'm wondering, like, you know, you talking about this, and I understand there being a level of freak out. I think there should be, but it seems to be amping up.
Well, yeah, we're getting closer to the actual day for sure. So, yeah, there's a reality to it now where it just felt like it's something that I wanted to, but now it's right in front of me. So, yeah, it's scary. It's a little on the scary side. Like, what the hell am I going to do?
I think you're going to be just fine.
I think I'm going to be fine also. I know I'm going
to
be fine.
You're in what I like to call the nauseous phase, because you're not, when you're actually, this is so weird, when you actually are physically throwing up, you're like, okay, I know, and this is what I've been fearing, but like when you're sitting in that nausea and you're waiting for it, you're just waiting for it, you wait for it, you wait for it, and then when it actually gets here, it's like, oh, what was I so worried about?
You just need to vomit, man.
And then you feel like you got a nice little flat stomach.
Okay.
You look great out in Sedona.
I'm waiting for it in October 24th. So let me talk about the Sedona thing. And I had forgotten you had gone on one of these retreats before. So here I am just thinking, oh, I don't know anybody that's gone through one of these. Yeah, I do. She's been right in front of me for all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. After my dad passed away, it wasn't in Sedona, but I went out to Arizona and it was my first solo trip. Had a conversation with my husband and I was flailing and I was drowning in my sorrow and drowning in my grief and I couldn't see any light. And it was one of those things, I could drag myself out of bed and come to work. But then I would go home, crawl into bed, pull the blinds, and I was just a shell of a person. So I'm like, yeah, I got to do something about this. So I found a place called Miraval in Tucson and went out there all by myself. I put my big girl panties on and went out there all by myself. And yes, it was a spa retreat. It was stunning. They had like, you know, all inclusive, a juice bar, like, you know, all the fancy things or whatever. But I really wanted to like get my hands dirty and try to like find some kind of healing or understanding of who I am without my dad. Because this is what life is going to like. Your life is, I don't want to say it's compartmentalized, but it is in these chapters, right? And there is Kristen when her dad was alive, and there's Kristen when her dad has died. And then there's going to be Bert when he was with in radio, and then there's going to be Bert without radio. And these are two different people. Like, whether you like it or not, these are two different people, and you have to get to know them. And so when I was there, I took a class called Love, Loss, and Letting Go. And I did, you know, equine therapy, and I did like this Reiki medium person. And I just really kind of delved into how, you know, was journaling, et cetera, and just trying to figure out, all right, how this is a part of my life now. I got to accept it. So how am I going? You know what? That's funny I say that, because in the love, loss, letting go class that I took, they kept talking about acceptance. And I'm like, I don't want to accept the fact that my dad is dead. Like, that was a big sticking point for me. And she's like, acceptance isn't approval. Acceptance is acknowledgement. And you can accept something in your life and still not approve of it. And I was like, well, what if I don't want to let go? Because then I feel like I'm forgetting him, and I don't want to let go. And she's like, you're not letting go of him. You're letting go of all the negative feelings. Mm. So it was coming to those realizations. It was hugely, hugely beneficial, especially the horse therapy. Oh, my God. Like, it's so...
What did Seabiscuit do to you?
Oh my God. I don't want to say it's pathetic, because it's not, because it worked. But here you are with like a group of 10 people, and there's a horse in front of you, and this old man who is like wiser than wise. And he's just this country cowboy hat wearing man, helping you get in touch with your inner self and your emotions. And here are 10 people. We're all standing in front of each other, just being so raw and vulnerable and sharing every horrible thing that's ever happened to us. And then we're supposed to go pick up a horse hoof and like clean out the horseshoe. And when you're being honest and authentic with yourself, the horse will allow you to pick up its foot. If you're not, the horse refuses to move its foot.
Is there any chance that a horse is going to kick you in the forehead?
No, nobody got kicked in the forehead. But like, you really...
How messed up is that? Like, the horse is like, you weren't honest enough.
Yes. No, it was...
Judging.
It was
so judgy.
I'm trying to get away from the judging.
But when the horse didn't move its foot, the instructor like got you to like do a deeper dive and really admit to yourself what you're going through and be honest with yourself. And just, it was kind of like it was very cleansing. And so all of us, we were in a class, everybody at some point in time were able to lift the hoof and do a little scrape of the horseshoe and call it a day. But yeah, that was wild.
I think part of my anxiety, and I've gone on too long to tell you about the agenda that I'm going to do in Sedona. I'll do that tomorrow. I think that with every major decision I have made in my life, even though I have been scared to do it, I always had an underlying confidence in it that it was going to be okay, that things are going to work out okay. When I took the Burt Show here, I mean, this was tremendous for me, doing a show like this and having my first hosting gig. Yeah, I was nervous about it, but I had this underlying confidence that I had never really... I got to be honest with you, there's not a whole bunch that I failed at. You know, I consider my divorce, my marriage, one of them. But there's just like, before that, there wasn't a lot of things that I had really failed at. So I had an underlying confidence that this was going to work out. The retirement feels a little bit different, because I have been able to avoid a lot of things in my life based on doing the energy that goes into this show. And now I'm willing to face all of these things from the past. So I think that's part of the fear also. And I think I just realized that.
No, because you've always...
as I said it.
Yeah, you've always referred to this show as an escape. Mm-hmm. So no matter what we had going on in our personal lives, and yes, we're vulnerable and we share our personal lives, but there's also definitely some compartmentalization, because you don't want to have somebody, if we're in a bad place, you don't want us on here whining and complaining for 4 hours straight. So some things you just have to lock away, and you come in and you hang out with your friends and you laugh and you talk and you have a good time. And you can kind of forget everything that's outside that studio door. You no longer have the studio to hide from anything.
We gotta find you a horse.
That's what we got out of it.
Does anybody have a Mr. Ed out there?
We gotta find you a horse and a Yeehaw Dumbledore.
Oh my god, that's what he looked like.
He's a Yeehaw Dumbledore. When you said that, I was like, I'm picturing like Dumbledore, and he's got the sorting hat, and he's like, you are not honest with yourself, Slytherin!
I'm gonna show you a photo, and you're going to cackle when you see this man, because that is it.
I didn't need to retire. I just needed a horse.
That's all you needed.
This is The Burt Show.
I don't know if you guys were listening yesterday, and if you weren't, you missed the big announcement that Abby is Messy Mikey's mentor.
Yeah, but nice to me.
I don't think I ever called you my mentee.
I 100% need to pull that audio because it exists.
Pull the audio, and then I will apologize for becoming your unsolicited mentor.
You don't have to apologize.
I do think I have imparted some pretty great professional advice upon you.
Sure, you have, but you can't just call me, say that you're my mentor, and then be like, I never said that. You said it.
Yes, I can. If I wanted to, which I did not, but if I wanted to, I feel as though I could claim the title. Did Obi-Wan become a mentor to what's his name, Anakin, because man. Anakin was like, I bestow you as my mentor? No, he just took him under his wing.
You literally said that Jackson and Mikey are where they are because of you.
No, I didn't.
Thank you.
I said I started the podcast, but I didn't go, he's my mentor.
I also disagree with you saying you started the podcast. That's a big argument point.
Whatever.
Because me and Jackson are on the same page. We were going to do a podcast together, and we're at Blue Moon. Abby was giving us advice as our mentor. And,
I have given you good professional advice.
And then we're like, Abby, do you just want to be on the podcast with us?
Yeah, but I had thrown out the idea multiple times. You guys were
Did
just
you make the move, though? That's the question.
Listen, why are we called the Personality Hires, Mikey?
I don't know.
Because I came up with the name.
Oh, okay.
So many power struggles on this podcast.
There really is.
And with this youth group, there's you and Jackson. Yeah. I mean, I really see like, it's almost like a game of Survivor. Alliances being formed.
Do you want a job at SiriusXM or not, Mikey?
It's very Game of Thrones. Who's the finger dude?
Littlefinger?
Yes.
Yeah. This industry is like Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. I've said that before. You never know who your friend is.
Yep.
Because you turn your back and your head's off. Yep.
That's all. Everybody's losing their heads.
Everybody's losing their heads. Okay, so Abby, as the mentor she is, has said to you, like all good mentors do, my mentorship is conditional. So she's willing to open up some doors for you, but as a good mentor, she wants something in return.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want proof that I'm not giving you this very high up contact for no reason, because I have always appreciated my relationship with Mikey. However, that has not always been reciprocated. I have sometimes felt disdain. I have sometimes felt a lack of empathy or respect or kindness towards me.
Towards me. You could say it the same way too.
I've always been so nice to you, Mikey.
That's complete nonsense. Pull the audio on that too.
I need a character witness.
Are we now arguing on who is respected less between the two of you guys?
Since having a kid, I'm able to tune this out really easy.
Really? It's so fun for me to be a spectator and just watch it go down rather than be the one in it.
Guys, we have so many songs to get to.
Okay.
Abby,
okay.
Break it down.
Whatever. Anyway, so even though Mikey doesn't like me, I was going to give him a really important contact because I know he really likes old country music. And I know a guy who works on the countryside at SiriusXM, and I'm going to give him the email address, but he has to prove that he likes me first.
You clearly have alienated your mentor. I can see it.
The old mentor payout. Yeah, that's something everyone's aware of.
This is the part in, the Revenge of the Sith, when they're in front of the lava, and he's like, This is how I feel right now.
You got a lot of Star Wars references today.
Well, because I'm feeling a little Obi-Wan-ish right now. Anyway, so I've given Mikey 5 different tasks to complete to pledge his allegiance to Obi-Wan.
In order to get a door open.
In order to get, I'm going to place his hand on the doorknob so that he can open the door if he so chooses.
Hey, wait. Bulletin, breaking news. Here's the audio claiming to be Mikey's mentor from Abby. She's claimed to be my mentor before, and this is what mentors do.
I am your mentor. Well, you decided.
Okay. I think that's enough there.
That's fair, but there's also another instance of it before that. But thank you, Tommy. That helps.
That sounds doctored.
That's not Katie.
That sounds
Katie, did you doctor that?
No doctoring.
I don't believe a word any of you are saying.
That was AI Abby. Sorry.
That was AI Abby. So anyway, the first task I gave him was that I needed to prove that he could put together a good playlist. If I'm going to let him into the music world, I need to know that he can curate a playlist.
If I'm going to let him into the music world, you don't even know this guy. You have no idea who this is. It's a friend of a friend.
If you are going to open the door to his new career, good for you.
I'm going to place the hand on your door.
What a gift, dude. What a gift. Why are you looking at what a gift she's about to have.
Angie.
He's so angry at me for
I'm
no
not,
reason.
I'm not. It's just you're so high and mighty right now, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Abby. I love you.
Do you really want the job this much?
I do. Okay. I put together a hell of a playlist if we can ever get to it, I promise.
Okay, I'm trying to give you the playlist, but you won't shut up. So there's asked for him to curate a playlist.
This is becoming my favorite segment. The youth group just watching them all just like implode.
What's so annoying is I'm so nice to everybody, and then they just beat me down, and I'm just, and now I look like the bad guy because they want to be mean to me.
Welcome to being a woman in radio.
Oh, here we go.
The patriarchy strikes again. So anyway, Mikey, take it away.
Okay.
Give me your playlist.
Yesterday, Abby gave me a task.
Hey, sorry, you guys, we're out of time. We'll have to get to it tomorrow.
I'm a PowerPoint.
Sorry. We're out of time. We're going to have to get to it tomorrow.
I'm so over this.
It's The Bird Show.
This is The Bird Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.